Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Talking Points. This is your host, Brian Kelly, the points guy. And today we officially have a points girl with us. Binay Wilson is the new head of credit cards content at the points guy. And she is just a fascinating woman all around. Binay, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Brian.
So first and foremost, you know, you manage our credit card content, but you are an aviation geek to the core.
Yes.
You've been, since 1992, an aviation journalist. Tell us about how you got into the world we're in today. Take it back to the 90s.
Well, I actually have been an av geek all my life. And I was that little kid who would sit and go to the... My parents indulged me and took me to the airport. Yep. And I'd track things. And then in 92, I found out, my roommate said, hey, this company is looking for somebody to write about aviation. And I thought she was joking, like somebody would pay for that? And I got that first job and never looked back.
And so if you do hashtag AVGeek, some people say AvGeek, some people say AvGeek. So it's AvGeek. For
yes.
The record, because your Twitter name, and everyone should follow Binay on Twitter, is AvQueenBinay, B-E-N-E-T. So for the record, it's AvGeek.
Yes.
So you started writing about airlines, and then you ended up working for airlines. How did you make that jump to actually working for the airlines?
I was minding my own business. In 2001, I went out to visit Mesa Air Group. And I was doing a series of stories, and they were asking me questions about the airline and everything. And I didn't know it was a job interview. And it was. And the company that I had been writing for, they'd just been sold to a venture capitalist. And they brought in all these people who knew nothing about aviation. Mm. I was like, you know, this is time to make a... And I left D.C. and moved to Phoenix, in the middle of the desert.
So you worked for Mesa Airlines in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had non-rev flight benefits. Did you take advantage of it?
Full advantage. I had it for Mesa. We were partners with U.S. Airways, Frontier, and America West. So yes, I went as far as I
could. What was the furthest place that you went when you had those free flight perks?
I heard a story on National Public Radio, and they had built an ice skating rink on the second level of the Eiffel Tower. One of the people's like, well, you know, we heard about it, and my girlfriend works for the airline, so we just did it. I'm like, hey, I work for an airline. I'm going to do it. So, yes, I ended up ice skating.
Did you connect through Philadelphia on U.S. Airways at that point?
Yes, that's the way. But there were always other... You, when you're non-revving, you have to be really flexible. So.
Well, I'm sorry you no longer have your non-rev benefits at the points guy, but I think we've got some pretty good flight perks.
Yes.
Today's episode, if I haven't been clear yet, we are going to talk all things credit card with our credit card guru, Binay. So how did you went into aviation and then you got into the credit card world. What was that evolution?
Well, I got hired in February of 2018 to write for a website called MileCards. And it had this perfect blend. I had not done a lot of credit cards. I'd done some freelance. There was also points and miles mixed in. But 2 months after I got there, MileCards was sunsetted and folded into CompareCards. So I started doing all of the travel stuff because they knew I liked to do that and could get in the weeds and do the credit cards too.
I mean, I've been following you on social media for years. I remember when we were hiring for this role, and we've been on a pretty big spree with getting new, fresh talent in the organization. And I just remember, oh my gosh, she's an aviation queen that also is passionate about, you know, credit cards and helping people get more points through those cards. Now, I really want this episode to be educational. So I'm going to take mm-hmm. this for people who are not whizzes in credit. Let's start from the very beginning. You know, especially if someone's going to get credit cards, it's important to know your score. So what do people need to know about FICO scores versus, you know, all these other free credit scores, which, you know, in the industry, we call them FICO scores. What's the difference between a FICO and a FICO score?
Well, FICO is the standard. That's the one that everyone knows. Ferrick Isaac Corporation has been doing this for decades. And other people are coming into the space, but FICO is the number one. That mm-hmm. is the gold standard.
And that's
for
who,
credit.
If you apply for a mortgage, your bank is going to pull your FICO score.
Yes.
And when you think about a FICO score, so the range is from what, 350 to 850?
Yeah, anything below 580 is poor.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably not going to get an apartment. You're not going to get a mm-hmm. mortgage. You'll be lucky if you can get a secured credit card mm-hmm. with some really onerous
crazy
terms. And then it goes up from there. You want to have at least 670 to be able to get, you know, some baseline cards.
So the good credit range is 670 to 739, and then very good is 740 to 799, mm-hmm. and then, I mean, excellent.
Yes.
We've always said, you know, at least 700 and up is really where you want to be, but the fact of the matter is even the upper 600s, you can get approved for a lot of different credit cards.
Yes, you can. You're not going to get that Platinum Amex, but you know, there's some cards on the market that will still get you points and miles to do the things that you want to do.
Let's talk about a FICO score. So what are the things that go into a FICO score? How does someone get, you know, say you graduate from college, you've got nothing bad on your credit. How does one focus on their credit score and increase it? What are the key things you can do?
Well, you want to get a starter card. You know, if you don't have a lot of credit, you can get something with a lower limit, no annual fee, and it's not as onerous to get. You use the card responsibly, you pay it off when you can, do at least minimum payments, no late payments. And as you build your credit up, that will allow you to get a larger credit limit or go to another card.
FICO actually has on their website, they have a pie chart, which I would share if this was a blog post, but we're talking. But on FICO's website itself, you know, paying your bill on time is the number one factor of your score. You know, the other parts are the available credit that you have,
yes,
and the debt that you have. So as long as you're paying on time and paying your bills off in full, scores can shoot up pretty quickly. I mean, when can someone reasonably, someone with no real credit history, they get this, you know, a Discover It card, when can they expect the score to keep going up?
I mean, within 6 months. Mm-hmm. And if they do everything right, within a year, they can start looking at cards with a little more benefits and a little more perks. And, mm-hmm. you know, you might have to pay an annual fee to get it, but you know, but I think the Discover card is a good mm-hmm. starting card.
I know at the Points Go, we have an expat who graduated college and was working for us, and he had to get a secure credit card, even though he had a great job, but he had no real credit limit. And I think it was in under 6 months after getting the secured card, I think he had a $500 balance. He would pay it off right away, and it was less than 6 months. And then he was above 700 and was able to then get the Sapphire Preferred and Reserve,
yes,
and all the good ones that we'll get to talking about. What are some other tricks? I know if your parents or if your partner have great credit, is it true that becoming an authorized user will immediately boost your credit score?
Yes. It doesn't hurt the person that has it, but you get the authorized card and you do exactly what you would do if the card was your own. You pay it off regularly, don't miss any payments, don't do late payments, and it will improve your credit score.
I know with Amex, if you're an additional cardholder, you actually inherit the length of accounts of that account. I've heard stories about 22-year-olds who have a member since 1969 on their credit report because it inherits the original account.
Yes. And you want to be responsible, though. I mean, mm-hmm. it's good to get this boost, but think of the person that has offered you this benefit and don't run up their card and don't mm-hmm. hurt their credit.
One of the things I've heard is that it makes sense to get a store credit card or a retail card, like a Macy's charge card. Are they easier to get than rewards cards? Like, should someone get one of those cards to start with, and will that increase her score?
Yes. Some of the terms on them are pretty onerous, so you want to read the fine print. I mean, one of the popular ones is the Kohl's card. But, you know, if you miss one payment, you're going to be paying a much higher interest rate. Mm-hmm. So store credit cards are a great option, too. But once you've built up the credit, you can close them down because you're really not getting any benefits.
Yeah. I mean, even if you want to use your rewards for, you know, merchandise or clothes, you'd be much better off getting just a pure cashback card, correct?
Exactly.
So let's start getting into the different flavors of credit cards out there. You know, when you have a beginner friend and they say, Binay, what credit card should I get? What are the steps that you coach your friends and people on? Where do you start?
I did this actually last week. It's this crazy thing I do. Somebody will pull out a credit card and I will see it. And then I will start rattling off statistics and say, well, you know, you may want to look at this card instead. I think about what they're doing. So if it's somebody that travels a lot and they have just like a basic Capital One card, you know, and there's nothing wrong with Capital One, they have some good travel options, but I'm going to tell them to get a Chase Sapphire Preferred to start off because you get broad categories for travel. It's not just airlines and hotels, which I think is really good, and you get the higher points, and you get the 25% more value for your points when you redeem them for travel in the Ultimate Rewards portal.
Yeah, you know, the Sapphire, the travel category, especially if you live in the city, I mean, because New York City transit, parking, tolls, you know, it really adds up. You know, I always tell people it's instead of just getting 1 point per dollar, which is what so many cards, and a lot of them will give you 1 cent for that, you really should be getting a rewards card. But even for cash back, so how do you look at cash back with the options out there? What are your recommendations for someone who said, I don't want to deal with the points, like I just want to stick to cash back? What are the good options out there?
I like the Chase Freedom because they have that program now where you get 3% cash back.
Freedom Unlimited.
In the first year when you spend up to $20,000. And that's a nice chunk of change. And then 1.5% after that. And if you don't want to worry about, you know, rotating categories and different categories that you spend on, it's just great.
Yeah. And also, I mean, the city double cash too is, you know, as long as you're paying your bill off in full, because you get 1% when you make the charge and then another 1% when you pay it off. So that's basically 2% back on your spend with no annual fee.
Yes.
But the one downside of that card is that it does have foreign transaction fees. I remember my dad, before the gold card waived the fees, we were on a father-son trip. I think we were in like Istanbul, and he was hell-bent on paying for our meals while we were there, which was very nice. I had covered our flights. But every time he used his gold card, I was like, no, like, why are you, you know, a lot of people say, oh, 2.7%, that's not that much. But that totally wipes out the value of those points that you're earning. So the key is to not, you know, pay off your bills in full every month. And also to get a card that has no foreign transaction fees, which most of the top, you know, rewards cards waive. All right, let's take a quick break right here. BRB.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Talking Points. I'm Brian Kelly, and joining me on this episode is TPG's own credit card editor, Benay Wilson. So now let's talk about rewards cards for travel. So we got your co-branded airline cards, and we have the transferable points cards, of which there's, you know, the Capital One Venture, Amex. How do you walk people through which of those cards to get?
And I just had this discussion last week. One of my friends was looking at the Delta Reserve versus the American Express Platinum. And I was pointing him toward the Amex Platinum until he reminded me that he lived in Atlanta and flew Delta Airlines. And he's always trying to get status because he doesn't fly as much as, he flies enough, but not as much. So he wants to get those MQMs. So I said, yeah, the Delta Reserve is going to be the one for you.
So I know Delta has a number of cards that offer those elite miles. American Airlines has a couple. United doesn't.
No.
That Presidential Plus has since been grandfathered. So really only spend on airline cards if you really are trying to get those elite miles. Otherwise, it would make sense because, as you mentioned, Amex Platinum has 5X on airfare. So there's no single airline credit card out there that's going to give you 5X, even on that single airline. Whereas Amex, and that 5X, is that every airline?
That's every airline.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be tied down, that's why I think it's an ideal card.
Yeah. Although the one thing is every airline, except they have to take Amex, I think WOW Air, may they rest in peace, didn't accept Amex at the time. And I was like, oh, I want to earn that 5X. But I think I just use a prestige card. So in addition to the elite perks, like what are the other perks where it might make someone to put a flight on an airline card? If it's not for elite miles, like what are the other perks that people should be evaluating on those airline co-branded cards?
Oh, definitely you want the priority boarding. Mm-hmm. Both you want the priority check-in, you want the dedicated security line, you want the free checked bag. And some of the cards even put priority bag tags on your bag, so when they come out first.
I know on the Delta cards, I think it has up to 9 companions or 8 companions.
Yes, yeah. It's ridiculous.
So, if you've got a big family and, you know, you use that once a year and that pays for the card many times over.
Yes.
And then in terms of hotel cards, you know, with the Sapphire Reserve offering triple on travel, why would someone ever want to put a hotel stay on a hotel-specific card?
Cards come with different perks. So, for example, I was in Miami last week staying at the JW Marriott Turnberry Isle. I have Marriott Gold status, so I got a 25% points bonus. I got the late checkout. I got the waiver of some of the resort fees. So if you are tied to a hotel brand, it's definitely worth it. They put some nice little benefits in there. Got the enhanced Wi-Fi. Depending on the hotels, I can get access to the lounge, which is very nice because it has breakfast and snacks and evening happy hour, and that can really be nice.
So basically when it comes to airline and hotels, if you're loyal to a certain airline or, say, to a hotel, the perks alone, I know a lot on the hotel cards, those free annual nights can easily pay for the annual fee.
Yes.
So the number one thing, though, is even if you're using those perks when you stay, you don't have to be using that co-branded card for all of your purchases. You know, you can be earning more value back by using one of the premium cards, so to speak. So let's look at the premium cards out there. In last year's 2018 TPG Awards, TPG Readers voted the Chase Sapphire Reserve as the best premium card. Amex Platinum, I know, was a somewhat close second, and Citi Prestige as a third. Do you think this year, we're going to start voting in a couple months for the awards, do you think there will be a change, or could Amex Platinum take the cake this year?
It's neck and neck, but we know that Citi Prestige will not be taking the cake.
Yeah, because they've had some pretty nasty... I love my Prestige, and you know, they had upped the dining to 5X, which was pretty industry-leading, but bring us through some of the negative changes that they've been kind of constantly rolling out this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be paying $495 for a card that is losing all of its travel and purchase protections. I mean, the points are nice, but when you can get a Chase Sapphire Reserve or the Amex Platinum that has all these other perks and benefits, why wouldn't you? I mean, they kind of shot themselves in the foot with this, even with the higher points. I applauded that.
Yeah. If you could only have Amex Platinum or Chase Sapphire Reserve, which would you choose?
This was a tough one, and I knew this was coming. So I would go with the Chase Sapphire Reserve, and I would go with it because it does have the 50% more value spent on travel in the Ultimate Rewards portal. It also has a really broad and very generous travel definition. I mean, rideshare, Airbnb, airlines, hotels, car rentals, like you said, parking.
Although not
tolls.
Disney. I just took my nieces and nephews to Disney, and they didn't give me the triple on the theme parks.
Well, not good.
Sadly. So you would go Reserve. I would also go Reserve in general, but I mean, Platinum is so good for airline lounges, a 5X on airfare, and Amex customer services. I think actually Chase customer service is also really good. But I think points, the Sapphire Reserve wins, perks, the Platinum, you know, if you like those premium lounges, which are totally free for you and two guests. But I really do think Amex needs to up the game when it comes to redeeming for hotels. Right now, you get less than 1 cent per point.
Yes.
And, you know, whereas Chase gives you 1.5 cents on all travel and hotels. So I would like Amex to bolster the points program, you know, the redemption side a little bit more. And also add, you know, airfare. Yeah, we spend a bunch on airfare here, but 1X on everything else. I would love to see Amex add a... Some other bonus categories in
like
there.
Like dining.
Yes. I know, like a 4X on the gold card. So it's like you have to have the gold card and the platinum card. All of a sudden, those fees add up.
And it's a little disappointing for me with the platinum for a card that is so travel tied that it doesn't have nearer the travel protections that the Chase Sapphire Reserve does. Trip cancellation, trip delay, baggage, lost luggage, you know, all of those little perks.
That's a really good point, because you would think Amex would have those travel delays. They have like disaster insurance. If you're, you know, somewhere and you have a catastrophic injury, they'll evacuate you. But I know during the WOW Air, you know, shutdown, when the airline just went kaput overnight, anyone who booked on a Chase had $10,000 in coverage.
Yes.
And a lot of our readers took advantage of that. But, you know, if you booked on Amex, you had to kind of hope the airline or other airlines offered you those cheap fares. You kind of got to stand in line. Whereas if you had the Chase card, you could rebook yourself, submit the claim. And that is definitely something to take into account when booking airfare. That points are one thing, but those protections are another. And that's somewhere that Amex could definitely beef up their coverage, especially since Citi has rolled it back.
Yes.
Now, sign-up bonuses are obviously a huge, amazing thing. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, you know, and we just launched TPG in the UK, and the sign-up bonuses there are 10, 20,000 points, 30,000. Here, they're huge. So what are the things you need to take into account when evaluating a sign-up bonus? You know, is 100,000 Hilton the same as 60,000 Chase? I know a lot of people just look at the highest number, but what do you recommend in really assessing the value of a sign-up offer?
Well, you think about the credit card. So with Hilton, you've got 100,000 plus points. But how can you use those points? If you want to transfer them to an airline, the valuation is horrible. Mm-hmm. You can get some good deals with Hilton, but again, they don't have a award chart. They have a tool, but you just never know. One day the hotel could be 25,000 a night, and the next day it could be 60,000. So, you know, you have to think about what is more important to you. For me, as much as I love Marriott, I would prefer to have the flexibility of a card like the Chase Sapphire Preferred, because that's one of the partners. Mm-hmm. Marriott is one of the three hotel partners. So for me, that's a better value.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, you used to be able to sign up for the same card. It's called churning, where you'd be able to get the same card bonus the next year or maybe even 6 months. Some cards would let you sign up over and over. You know, these sign-up bonuses cost the credit card companies real money, and they've been kind of clamping down. What are some of the things credit card companies are doing to clamp down on churners?
Right. One of the big ones is Chase. I mean, they've got the 524 rule, where you can only get up to five cards within a 24-month period. If you want to get the Chase Preferred and Reserve, you can't do it. There are people who are grandfathered in, but you can't do it anymore.
And so wait, let's just talk. So the Chase 524 rule means that if you've had five credit cards with any issuer, not just Chase, within 24 months, that they will say no. So even if you have a 800 credit score, you make $1 million a year, they will decline.
Yes, because, you know, people like to get all of these cards, and, you know, this is what we do. We stack the points, and we're trying to use them for our travel or whatever it is that we're using them for. So, and that costs money, and they've really clamped down on this.
What cards do not count towards the 524 rule? Do they count business cards?
They do not count business cards.
Got it. You know, Chase is pretty strict with this, so if you're new to this game, probably the best card is a Chase card because they're the hardest to get down the line. So you start with the solid Chase card, like the Sapphire Preferred with 60,000 points, which is the highest current sign-up bonus on a personal card. The Sapphire Reserve only has 50,000 points. So we always say get the Preferred, get the higher bonus, and then down the line you could always upgrade to the Reserve.
But you won't get the bonus.
But you won't get the bonus. So right, so let's talk about that too. So people who want to, maybe they have a gold card, they do want to get platinum. What do you recommend so that you can still get the sign-up bonus?
I would look at the card match tool. Mm-hmm. I think that is fantastic. You can plug in some information, no hard pull or anything, and it will tell you offers that aren't always out there to the public. And I just think that's a fantastic tool.
So a lot of our TPG readers, so if you go to thepointsguy.com/cardmatch, it's a tool from our partner creditcards.com. And it, you know, Amex will give certain people up 75,000, 100,000 points for the platinum card, up from the 60,000, which is their public offer. And in full disclosure, if you apply for credit cards through the Points Guy, we receive a commission in most cases from the credit card company. So we appreciate you using our links, because that's how we pay the bills around here. So you can look at card match to see if you're eligible for some rich offers, specifically with Amex. What are some other ways that you can get juicier offers than what the public is being offered?
Well, if you have a card, you're always getting targeted offers. We did one where United was offering extra points if you were a United customer. Mm-hmm. They wanted you to get the card, so you would get more bonus miles if you applied for the card.
So logging into your frequent flyer account, sometimes they'll target richer offers.
Exactly.
I know some people have gotten huge offers in the mail, so even though it's 2019, snail mail can still contain really juicy offers. What about in-flight and in airports, those people who are, hey, you want a free flight? You know, even flight attendants these days have gotten pretty savvy as credit card marketers. Are those in-flight offers ever better than what you're going to get on the ground?
No, they're really not. And that's not the kind of decision I want to make when I'm sitting on my flight or I'm going through an airport and they're hawking these cards. You know, the cards aren't going anywhere. So those are two places that I might take a brochure, but I don't think I would actually apply in either place.
And it makes sense to look at what the public offers are, do some Googling around, you know, of course, check out our top cards page. You know, you may be targeted for an offer that we don't have. And I always tell people, go for it. Always go for the highest offer, but, you know, not really when you have poor Wi-Fi in flight and you feel pressured trying to catch your flight and filling out a form. So I think that's a really good tip because, you know, with Amex, like with sign-up bonuses, a lot of times you only get one chance. So, mm-hmm. you know, with Amex, what's their rule with their Delta cards?
It's the same as the Amex card. You get that one bite at the apple.
Per lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Citi AA Platinum, it's 48 months between bonuses. And the Citi Executive Advantage is 24 months. So, mm-hmm. you know, B of A now requires 24 months. So
They're tightening down because you people did this.
You got to strike while the iron's hot. And let's talk about minimum spend. So I think what's important to note, though, too, a lot of credit card companies will start the clock the minute you get approved. And also, the annual fee does not count. We've gotten reader mistakes where they say, oh my God, I missed out on a huge sign-up bonus because I came $10 short. So I always recommend, you know, overshoot it. Don't come in right at the wire at that exact dollar amount because if if there's a refund or anything, that can really throw your sign-up bonus in a tailspin. And these credit card companies will not bend the rules. You can cry and complain,
yes.
but, you know, if you don't hit it, or if you spend on something that's not a qualifying offer, like, you know, balance transfer, then you are not getting that bonus. Speaking of balance transfers, I know that's not really our space, but if you do have credit card debt and you want to pay it off, do you recommend transferring a high interest balance to a card that's offering 0% APR?
Yes, I actually do, but with a caveat. I tell people, you know, this is not a cure-all. So when you transfer that balance, make sure that you pay it off within that time. It's usually between 12 months and some even go up to 24 months. Mm-hmm. Pay it off, because if you don't, you're going to be in the same situation you were before.
Yeah, I think that's really sage advice, because I was in credit card debt in college, and even when I moved to New York, I was like $6,000, and all of a sudden it was $7,000, and I wasn't making a lot of money, and it was like, it's like quicksand. So as much as I'm the points guy and I love points, if you're paying 24%, you know, on a charge, yes, even if you redeem for business class, like chances are you're going to pay for that many times over. So, you know, for people who want to get on this game and are in debt, don't feel guilty. It happens to a lot of Americans, but the number one tip should be to neutralize that balance, get it to a no-interest card, and then pay it off.
And also, some cards, if you don't pay it off within that time period, the balance goes to the higher rate.
Hmm.
So you have to read that fine print.
And there also is a fee to transfer to a card. Usually it's like 3% balance transfer fee on the balance, which can be pretty significant. I know years ago, the Chase Slate card actually had 0% interest and 0% balance transfer on non-Chase balances. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I doubt it. But, you know, while at the Points Guy, we talk all about rewards cards, we don't recommend moving around balances to avoid paying interest. Our tip is to get yourself into a place of financial freedom so that when you do get your points, you can travel and enjoy it and not be struggling with credit card debt, which can be crippling.
Yes.
So let's just do some rapid fire. What are some underdog credit cards that maybe you think don't get enough credit, whether on the Points Guy or in general, that you think people should take a look at?
I wrote the story when Wells Fargo came out with the rebranded Propel card. And this is a free card, people. And I loved it. I mean, 3 points for everything from travel to hotels to dining and food delivery. And Airbnb and streaming services. Mm. And I mean, 3 points. That's
no
pretty
fee.
Nice. And no annual
you're
fee.
You're the second guest in recent history. Richard Kerr, who's our points guru, he also loves the Propel card because it gives him flexibility to buy. You know, he has a family and he buys his flights using basically the cash back from it. So you have the Wells Fargo Propel?
I love it. And also, it comes with travel protections. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a free card, I mean, lost luggage. I mean, it's just amazing.
Huh.
All the perks that you get for a card with no annual fee.
I have the Propel as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's solid. No, I know you love Southwest.
I do.
How do people navigate? What are the best cards for Southwest flyers?
Well, if you had asked me this a few months ago, I would have said the Priority. I remember I was really happy when the Priority came out, although I was disappointed that they still only offered 2 points mm-hmm. for airline and then car and hotel rental spending, because a lot of the airlines are boosting it up and including things like dining and other things. So I was disappointed that they didn't add that. But it's got the four boarding priority boarding passes a year. And it comes with a $75 credit, which makes it cheaper than the Premier.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
I always say that with credit cards, cheap is expensive. Often, you know,
yes.
you pay, you know, on a premium card, but then all of a sudden you're getting hundreds in fee. I know a lot of the Marriott cards, the premium Marriott cards now offer ridiculous perks. So, you know, even with the Sapphire Reserve, it's $450, but you get $300 off the bat in travel. So you're really paying $150 a year for a card that gives 3X, Priority Pass, et cetera. And the Sapphire Preferred is only 2X and 95. So it can be confusing, but doing the math, even though the Preferred does have a higher sign-up bonus, after year one, it might make sense, even if you forego the sign-up bonus to get the Reserve card. Now, if you have a small business, business credit cards can be really lucrative. What exactly qualifies or who qualifies to get a small business credit card?
Well, you'd be surprised. You can have a small business. You can have a side hustle. You can be a freelancer. I mean, I had an ink business card when I was 100% freelancing. So you don't have to have a gigantic conglomerate to mm-hmm. get these business cards.
Because what if you are a freelancer, what do you, you use your social security number as a sole proprietor?
Oh, actually I have an EIN, so
okay.
I didn't want to use my personal,
yeah.
so I got an EIN, which is free. Anybody can pretty much get one, so.
Interesting. And so business credit cards, and the real benefit there is that they sit on a business credit report.
Exactly.
So even though they're guaranteed by you personally, you know, the balances and everything, don't mess with your personal FICO score.
Exactly.
On a monthly basis.
And they have some pretty good perks. So if you're buying office supplies, mm-hmm. you know, of course the travel.
Yep.
And the car rental, that's really good because it's primary instead of secondary.
Yep. And that can add up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
People assume that the Sapphire Reserve is how I earn most of my points, and it's actually not true. I actually earn the most points by putting our Facebook, Twitter, all of that spend on my Ink Preferred, which is 3X Ultimate Rewards points. And then the Amex Business Gold now offers 4X up to 150,000. So especially every January 1 when those categories reset, it is a points bonanza. So, you know, mixing your business and your personal spend is how you can really ramp things up pretty quickly. So in general, someone who's getting into this, there's really rich sign-up bonuses out there. There's really great perks. What are some of the resources you recommend to people as they start to get into this credit card and understanding the credit card game?
Well, first, I mean, follow us. I mean, get the newsletter because things are always changing. And we are updating the credit card content constantly. So we know all of the latest deals. We have a great staff of people who really know how to use these cards and give great advice on how to do it. So, I mean, we're the home for you. I mean, you will learn everything you need to know.
We work with the credit card companies and we know what's coming down the pike, often months in advance. So speaking generally, how do you see the second half of 2019? You know, for people listening, should they be excited about new offers? Do you think there's going to be many juicy credit card launches or promotions coming down? Or do you think it's, because it's kind of fizzled out a little bit, you know, since Citi Prestige kind of devalued some of its perks. You know, there have been some enhancements as well. It hasn't all been all bad news. But what do you see, not even just 2019, into 2020, the rewards credit card market?
I mean, I remember how excited everyone was when Amex redid the gold card. And then in the spring, they added dining around the world. And people just went nuts. And they went crazy for the rose gold card. I mean, it was just Mm-hmm. You know, so
it's a pretty card.
It is beautiful. And I see more of that. I don't see big revamps. I just see people adding benefits mm-hmm. and targeted things. So I think that's what we're going to see.
What is one perk on a credit card that you'd like to see? And while you think about that, because I'm surprising you with that question, I would love to see Clear added to a credit card. I have so many credit cards that offer global entry and pre-check, and it's like once you have it, you know, you only need that once every 5 years, yet I have, I think, 7 cards that offer it. I would love to see either Passport, Visa services, or Clear would be really great additions instead of having yet another Priority Pass or global entry.
I'm a huge fan of Clear. I started writing about that when it first came out, and I was highly skeptical. I'm like, why do I need this? I have pre-check. When I came up here and flew up here this morning, the lines at BWI were ridiculous. Clear is always open, and it takes me, I time it. It took me 2 minutes and 12 seconds to get through security from the time I scanned my fingers to the time my bag came out of the machine.
Yeah, same with at JFK Terminal 4. The pre-check line was like 100 people long, and I almost feel guilty. There was actually a New York Post article that came out recently saying that Clear is not fair. What would you say to that in terms of having to pay to get through security quickly?
For me, time is money. And I do see the people glaring at me. And I'm always telling people, I'm in a lot of Facebook groups for travel. And I was like, you can get Clear if you join Delta SkyMiles for free. I mean, I'm paying $100 a year for Clear. And I can take my kid with me. And it's the best money I spend.
You heard it here. And if you want to listen to our podcast with the CEO of Clear, make sure to listen to our episode with Karen Seidman-Becker. Binay, I know you're a Southwest fan. The Southwest Companion Pass, I think we'd be remiss to not tell people, probably one of the most amazing credit card, well, airline perks that you can get through credit card spend. Real briefly, why should people who fly Southwest pay attention to those co-brands and the Companion Pass perk?
That's the holy grail for me and any other person that flies Southwest regularly. With Southwest Companion Pass, if you fly 100 segments, you will get a pass. And if you time it right, you can stretch it out beyond a year. You will be able to take a travel companion every time you travel and you pay the taxes and fees. I mean, who wouldn't love that?
That's amazing. And just the sign-up bonus, you know, you need 110,000 Companion Pass qualifying points, and the sign-up bonuses count towards that. So
yes.
Even though we're in August, so if you were to attain it today, it's valid through the year that you get it and then the entire following year. So if you time it in January, you can have it for almost 2 years, this Companion Pass status, and you can change your companions. We have all of that info if you just Google the points guy, Southwest Companion Pass FAQ and how to get it. We have all of those details. And the best way to get it, instead of flying 100 flights, that's a lot of work. You can just get some credit cards and put your spend. Binay, final question. Are you an aisle or window seat?
Aisle.
You're an aviation queen. Don't you like sitting out the window?
I cannot be trapped. Now, I will sit at the window if the plane's empty because I'll take pictures. But no, I am an aisle person.
Aisle person. All right. Well, one final question. Where are you desperate to visit?
I'm going there in February. I'm going to Morocco.
Morocco? Oh, yes. Are you going on the inaugural or when American Airlines starts flying there?
No, I just found out about that because that happened while I was out last week. I'm actually going to take TAP Portugal. I'm going to stop off and do the stopover, the free stopover. I'm going to Porto for 3 days.
Do you like port wine?
I do. I went to the Algarve last year, so it was wonderful, and I discovered white port wine. Have you had that?
I've never had it.
I had never had it either.
I usually only have it on planes. They're like, do you want a tawny port? I'm like, sure.
White port is fabulous.
White port is fabulous. The more you know. Binay, thank you so much for joining us, and if you missed her Twitter account, make sure to follow her at AvQueenBinay. Thank you so much to our production here at TPG, Caroline Chagrin and Margaret Kelly. Our music is by Breakmaster Cylinder, and thanks, as always, to my amazing assistant, Christy Matsui. That's it for this episode of Talking Points. I'm your host, Brian Kelly. And once again, a huge thanks and safe travels to our aviation queen, Binay Wilson.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.